strength to strength, we sometimes go. Then again, we're sinking low in the shadow of a mountain looming high above our head. We need not fear what lies ahead, for the word has clearly said that our faith would be sufficient to make the mountain disappear. Speak to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to our feet. Speak to the mountain.
ask the Lord with you. God bless you, Brother Joel. Really good to see you, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got something the Lord has just been kind of laying on my heart for a while now, and I just want to try to bring that out. If I can bring it out the way He gave it to me, it'd be a blessing. You know, that's the challenge, is getting it out the same way He gave it to you. Ain't that right, Brother Tony?
Right.
But you know what? There's nothing like the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Right. You know, whenever all music stops, whenever all emotion stops, when God's still there. That's the one, you know. And that's something about this church that we have here, the little body of believers. This is home away from home, amen?
Yes.
And I was talking to Tony this morning. You know, I like the feeling if when I can go to another church or go to Honduras or go somewhere else and talk about my church. And talk about the pastor God gave me. Because I have pride in it, amen? That's my family. And it's kind of like, you want to see a photo? When you talk about your family, let me show you pictures. You know, this is my wife, this is my son.
That's right.
Because it's something you're proud of, amen? And I am proud of this little family God's gave us here.
Amen.
And you know as well as I do, I ain't no great preacher, nothing like that. So, but you know what? He's here.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the one we want to meet, amen?
That's
who I want to meet.
Yeah.
So let's just look to Him this morning, amen? And let's just open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning with thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. And Lord, truly, we believe that You put this little body of believers together, God. And Lord God, we see You leading us. We see You guiding us, God. And Lord, we just want to be in Your hands this morning. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to just commit everything to You. Lord, You know I'm feeling a bit nervous this morning. Lying vanities around, God. Lord Jesus, but I push all those things to the side right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And I ask You, Father, to speak to our hearts this morning, that no man will be lifted up other than You, Father. Because truly, You're the one that's worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I think they've got it on the multimedia. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We want to turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ,
yes,
that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
And you can be seated. We want to speak on this morning on conditioning for rapture. Conditioning for rapture. And I want to bring out the definition is, what does it mean to be conditioned? And what the dictionary says is in past tense, conditioned, a past particle, or to be conditioned. And one definition is having a significant influence on or determine the manner of outcome of something.
Yes.
Or a national choices are conditioned by the international political economy. So to me, what that's showing is they're going to be conditioned for the things that are going on at that present time. Amen. So there's a different condition. And the other definition is to bring something into the desired state for use, or a product for conditioning leather. Amen. And I want to read the scripture out of the Amplified Bible, if that will be okay. And that's from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. And I just like the way it brings it out, because to me it brings out a little better the things I wanted to speak on. And Amplified versions, Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. I want you to listen to this. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which is boundless, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and a right standing with God. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability and a promptness and a readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon that which can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. I want you to listen to this verse very carefully. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner prayer and entreaty. To that, and keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance. Listen to this. Interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Saints, there's a powerful statement that right there the Lord realized on my heart. Praying for our brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. And pray also for me. Listen to this. Pray also for me that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of God, God's good news, the gospel, which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to do. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we should pray in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And pray not only for the church, but pray for the ministry. That the ministry can openly hear the voice of God, what God wants us to hear. That way the ministry can bring forth the Word of God to the congregation in a way boldly that they can understand what they have need of. Amen? Amen? See, God's got a provided way of worship. And He's given us a fivefold ministry to give us what we have need of to be perfected. Amen? Perfected in the Word of God. And it says that we can be in our position.
Right.
Because, you know, we all have a position in this body. And we may not all stand behind a pulpit, but we all have a position. And I wanted us to see this morning that we need to be able to be in that position even under trials. Even under hard circumstances, that's when we need to gird up the loins of truth. And what I think about that is, I think of a belt cinching up on your belly. You've got to get rid of all that loose slack. And anytime you're going through a trial, you take the truth of God's Word and you pull that tight in yourself and you check yourself and say, Word of God, search me this morning. Yeah. First of all, is there a hidden sin in my life? Because if there is, God, get that out of me. And you sense that truth tight. Amen?
Amen.
And when you do that, once you see, okay, all truth is right. I've been faithful to the Lord. I've done all these things. Or you repented those things if there was something. Then you can stand on your ground steadily. And no matter what winds come, then you can stand on the Word of God and say, I'm standing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come what may, I'm standing on the Word.
All right.
Amen? That's true. And for us, we must know where we are in God's program. And on a map, there are signs and characteristics to determine where we are. And once we know where we are, we can make clear decisions on how to get where we need to be. You know, if you're going to a certain place, there's certain surroundings, and they can say, you know, there's a tree on this side, and there's a building, and this is the fire department. There should be a fire department right there. There should be a fire department right there, amen?
Right.
And when you go to certain places, and I know Brother Tony's been going through these things, that's exactly what's on my heart too. I'm telling you, we need to know where we're at. Because once we know where we're at, not just as the believers of the full body of Christ, I'm talking about us individually as well. We need to know where we are at in God's program. Amen?
Right.
And so, in order for us to get to where we're going, we need to know where we are at to get where we're going. And in all things, there is an absolute to base decisions from. We can't build up on sensations, emotions, or feelings. We must be built upon the Word of God for our hour. And I want to stop and just talk about this for just a second about sensations. You can't build upon just a sensation or an experience that you've had at one time.
That's right.
And I'll give you a couple examples. There's many in this life that have, at one time in their life, they pray and they say, God, I want you to show me the truth of where I need to go. If this is the church you want me to go to, you show me, and God will lead them to a Seventh-day Adventist. And He'll feel a warm oil come on top of His head, and He'll tie to that and say, that's where God put me, and that's as far as I'm going. I'll never leave this.
Right.
And they'll stay right there. And you know, in our life, there'll be certain experiences that happen in our life, and something supernatural like that will happen, and you'll always want to go back to that and say, that must be where I got to go to. But those things will fool you sometimes.
Right.
That's true. Feelings. You can't base this experience upon feelings and this journey upon feelings.
That's right.
Because, you know, and I'm going to show a couple examples of as the brothers were assembling some of the things to get this congregation going. There's a lot of background work. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up and going to a meeting. So if I just went by feelings, I might show up and I might not.
Right.
You know, and coming to church this morning, you can go by feelings and say, you know what, I feel like going to church today, so I will go to church today because I feel led of the Lord. But I don't today, so I won't go today of the Lord. You can't go by feelings.
Right.
Amen. It's got to be the Word of God.
Amen.
It goes back to the Word of God. No feelings.
That's right.
Let's talk about another part of feelings is even feelings in the body. You can have feelings in your body in a service, and because you feel energetic, you have an energetic service. And as the song leader, he has a ministry as well. And he can come with the Spirit of the Lord and come with a mind and an attitude to lead and worship. But see, on the other end, we have a part too. And see, when he sings, if we feel energetic and I feel good in my body, I can worship and we'll have a great service. But what if you don't feel good? Does that mean you don't worship, friends? No. That's the times when that's the time to worship. Because that means more than likely it's not just you struggling, it's somebody else too. Amen?
Amen?
So it's not by feelings. It's by faith. We're serving by faith.
Amen.
And I want to go into something here and just pull with me, and I want you to receive the same thing God gave me. Amen?
Amen?
Brother Brim says, now if you notice what caused this trouble, there was a mixed multitude went up with them. The supernatural had been done down in Egypt. And when the supernatural had been done, everybody flocked to it, and it caused a mixed multitude to go with them.
Yeah.
Unregenerated, unconverted hearts going up, trying to impersonate the real believer. And it's then that in the days of Noah, it was in that days of Christ, it's prophesied in God's Word to be the same in this day. Listen, the supernatural has been done, and there's mixed multitudes going up unregenerated.
Yes.
Hearts not conditioned. Not keeping God's Word, but impersonating something. What happened to you, Lutheran? Many years ago, in that time, in that first Reformation, you held the torchlight of freedom in your hands. Now think about that. They actually had the torchlight of God. Amen? You were God's light. What happened? You organize yourself around one scripture and become a bunch of isolationists, and God took the torchlight out of your hand. That's true. The just shall live by faith, but there's more scriptures than that.
Right.
What happened to you Methodists? In the days of John Wesley, who had the great revival that saved England, when Wesley and Asbury and many of them were over there, in one of the greatest revivals that the nations ever knew, you held the torchlight in your hand. But after the going of John Wesley, what taken place? You got a bunch of seminary students in there that organized a great group, and you set your doctrine upon sanctification and denying it now, and God took the torchlight out of your hand. Some one-eyed Negro man come yonder in California and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God stuck the torchlight in the hands of Pentecost. But what happened? You held the torchlight in your hand, but the first thing you know, you went and made little issue just like the rest of them did, settled down, and God took the torchlight out of your hand. You started breaking up. First thing that God did was restore gifts. He started speaking in tongues, and you did speak with tongues. Then you made it doctrine, the initial evidence. No one can get the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. And all that spoke with tongues got the Holy Ghost. Think about this. Don't leave this back here. You bring that to our day. That's all right. But you made it a doctrine, and God took the thing out of your hand. Along come the new issue, the oneness. They started baptizing in Jesus' name. That was all right. That's in the Bible. But what happened? You made an issue out of it. And where are you at tonight? On one side, on the sidelines too, because you didn't hold the torchlight, you organized and put a period after that and settled it. I wonder how much organizing is going wrong with the message right now.
Right.
God started a move of divine healing out of the interdenominations, and what's happened tonight, brother, they made an issue out of it. And now they've built their ministry upon fanatics, and it's got to a place where it's all kinds of sensations. It's going over to the West Coast. I hope it never hits me, but oh mercy. Everything that you can think of in the almanac and not in God's Bible, all kinds of isms and fanatics, and the Pentecostals move has become face down on little isms and emotions. And God will jerk the torchlight off of divine healing, for He can't place any real thing on nothing got no foundations. God's Word is His foundation.
Amen.
Think about this. We're talking about people that had the torchlight at one time.
Right.
And because of their actions, God took the torchlight out of their hands.
Right.
We need to see where we are at. Because I want to know if I have the torchlight. Amen?
Amen?
I want to know if this church has the torchlight. Because regardless of how great music, regardless of how much enthusiasm, regardless of how many healings that take place,
right,
we need to know we have the torchlight for this hour. Because if we don't, friends, I want to know where it's at. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. We can't base our torchlight experience off divine healing. It must be based on the revealed word of the hour. And here's another part where Brother Brennan said this. And forgive me for the quotes, but this is the... You know I don't normally preach like this, but this is what Lord God laid on my heart. This comes from God Keeps His Word. He says, in a few minutes, the master of a ceremony said, Brother Brennan, do you got a word to say? I said, I sure have. I said, Brother, these brethren have become so earthbound till they can never soar up to thus saith the Lord. This word we're traveling is a one-way road. You don't come back on it. You either go on with God or off on the deep end, one side or the other. And the only way you can do it, brother, we don't need all this formal stuff that we have today. Neither do we need all the fanaticism that we have today. There's too much of the real, genuine Holy Spirit. The skies are loaded with it. And there's no need to take a substitute and try to get to heaven on some sensation when God's Word tells you you can't do it. What's the use of accepting a substitute? Either by joining a church and putting your name on a book, or going over there and getting into some kind of stuff that you're going to have to jump up and down, or oil run from your hands, your bloody faces or something, when that stuff is out of hell. It's not in God's Word. Now listen to this. You believe me to be a prophet of God? Receive my word and stay away from that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Many people are looking for a silver bullet today.
Right.
And you guys say, well, Daniel, what are you talking about, a silver bullet? How many, I want to ask you, how many wants this rapture? Amen?
Yeah.
I truly want it.
Yeah.
And I believe if you just go to every church, every hand with anybody with some kind of, at least a little bit of sanity in their mind, they'd say, yes, I want to go. But if you was to say, how are we going to get there? How many different answers would we get?
That's right.
See, I want to get there, but in order for me to get there, I need to know where I'm at, and I need to know where I'm going and know how I'm going to get there. And Jesus said, you must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Right.
So what's happening today is many people have got new revelations that's come forth, and they say, this is going to be the silver bullet that gets us out of here.
Right.
Is that the truth, Brother Tony?
Yeah.
This is the revelation you must receive, because when you receive this silver bullet, and you must come here to get it. If you don't come here to get this silver bullet, you'll never go in the rapture. That's what the devil's starting right now, friends.
Yeah.
But we need the whole message. Amen?
Right.
We don't need just part of it. We don't need a portion of it. In Luther's day, they said the greatest miracle that he had is he was able to stay sane during all the fanaticism.
Right.
He wasn't going one way. He wasn't going to the other. And if I may, I'd say the greatest miracle for the bride today is being able to stay in the middle of the road today.
Yeah,
during all of the fanaticisms, during all of these isms, during all of the new doctrines that are coming out, we can stay right in the middle and say, I believe the Word of God today.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
I want to know that we have the torchlight today. And the only way that we know, Brother Brenham said, in an absolute, and we all know the message, in a baseball game, there's an absolute. And an absolute, and I don't know a whole lot about baseball, but I know enough that when that man throws the ball and he swings and he misses, it's struck. If that umpire says struck. I can see that evident deal, because to me, it don't take much common sense. When he swings that bat, that's a clear strike. Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all, everybody agree with that?
Right.
But what about if he's standing there and he don't swing and that ball goes right over the plate? That leaves room for discussion, don't it?
Right.
You know, if he's swinging, that's kind of clear. But there's some things that ain't so clear. He's standing there and he's got that bat. I'm not saying this is how you stand with baseball, but this is, you get the idea. He's standing there and he's not going to swing and that ball goes through. That leaves room for discussion. And that leaves room for error.
Right.
Amen. And that's what's happened with the message. There are some things that are very clear.
Right.
You can see it's clear. It's black and white. Brother Brenham said, thus saith the Lord. That's the way it is. You can see black and white. The Scripture says
right.
What it says.
Right.
But there are some things. It just ain't clear. Ain't that right?
Right.
And that's where there's room for discussion. And we know what the umpire is the absolute to that baseball game.
That's right.
And the Word of God is our absolute for this message. Amen?
Right.
And you know, I remember a story Brother Brenham talked about. He talked about a king that needed someone to take him with his chariot. He said, I want you to take me. I want you to be my driver. And he had one man come up. He said, I can take you within an inch of that cliff. And you'll never fall because you're in my hands. And he has another driver. He says, I can take you within a half an inch of that cliff and you'll be safe in my hands. And you've got another man that comes up. He says, I'll hug the wall. He said, I ain't going to get over there. He said, I ain't even going to test that out there. I'm going to hug the wall the whole way. He said, that's who I want to drive me.
Right.
And that's the kind of leadership that I want.
Yeah.
I want leadership that will hug the wall. Amen.
Yes.
You know what? If there's a little bit of question in my ministry's life about something, if he's iffy about it, you know what I want my ministry to say? Stay away from it.
That's right.
Amen. You know, if there's a question about it, if he can't truly tie on, because he could, with great integrity, he could have good integrity of making the decision, saying it's okay, because Brother Brennan wasn't real clear about it. It's okay. With good integrity, he could get you so close to that cliff you fall off. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Amen. That's true. I want to read a quote here. It says, and God of this evil age, it says, now, notice closely now as we study the Word, the God of this evil age that we're now living may seem strange, a very strange thing in the age of grace when God is taking a people for His name's sake, that is His bride, in this evil age. That should be called the age of evil. The very age that God is calling a people for His name's sake by grace and is called an evil age now will prove by the Bible that this age that He was speaking of, the very strange thing to think that in this evil age that God will be calling a bride. Now what would God call a people out of this age for? His name. I want to stop and think about a name. Brother Tony's got a boy back here somewhere. There he is. Brother Ben. And have you ever noticed watching children? Though he's never seen Brother Tony do it, maybe, he'll do certain things just like Brother Tony. Is that right?
Right.
He'll go through there, and you know what people will say? There goes a Roberts. Acts just like him. Amen? People talk about those things. He'll see him do certain things. And a lot of times, it's when people's not even noticing. That's when something comes out of him, and it's a name. It's something inside of him. It's a name. And, you know, we as the bride of Jesus Christ, we have certain things in us. And certain things will come out, and somebody will say, there goes a Jesus. Amen? Right. And sometimes you may not even notice it. Sometimes you'll just be living your life. Why? Because there's a birth on the inside. Amen? Right. There's something on the inside, and when somebody sees you, they say, there goes a Jesus. My boy, Elijah, that boy, bless his heart. He'll be so hot and sweaty sometimes, mowing yards, and he'll come through, sweat pouring down, and that poor kid, he looks just like me. I thank my Lord, that poor boy. And it brings joy to my heart. But you know what? That's the same way Jesus Christ does when he looks at us. And you know what? I just want to settle down here just a second before we move on. You know what? We got to remember that we are a family. Amen? Yes. And God wanted a family. And that ultimately, that's what he wants. And he wants to see his children be successful.
Right.
And, you know, many times we can get the perspective or the point of view where we feel like we are under the law again. And what I mean under the law is, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt keep baseball from before thy face. Amen? Thou shalt not do this, because if thou do, thou art wrong. That's true. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not have your skirt wherever. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt love thy wife. On Mother's Day, you forget the Mother's Day present, thou hypocritist. Am I telling the truth? Law. And you know what? You can go under such a bondage under that, that you forget the joy of this message.
That's right.
You can get so bound by those things, you forget the love of our Lord and the love of the gifts God gave us among us. God gave us gifts in this church, and we've talked many times about gifts of preaching and singing. But you know, God gave us other gifts. And that's the ones I want to talk about this morning.
Amen.
And that's gifts I'm seeing right now. Right in front of me. I have gifts among me right here this morning that are my gifts. And I'm proud of them. Amen?
Right.
But you know what? When someone gives you a gift, we need to take care of those gifts. How many remembers the boots I bought Malachi? I bought Malachi some boots, and I'm going to tell you something from his heart. Malachi wanted boots. And it wasn't just a small thing. It was truly from his heart. Malachi wanted boots. And he asked, and I said, no, I'm not getting you boots. I tell you why. I see what you do with your shoes. You ride your bicycles, and you drag it on the ground. I said, in 2 weeks, you won't have boots. And he kept pleading and crying. He said, Daddy, I want boots. You ever wanted something from God? And you want him, and you ask him for it, and he don't give it to you. But you know what? He's stubborn. He kept saying, Daddy, I want them boots. And every time we go back and buy a store, he'd say, hey, Daddy, I just want to let you know there's a boot store back there. Just in case he was wondering. Going down the road, and no matter what we were doing, we could be going to church. He said, hey, Daddy, that guy had boots on. Just saying. He kept bringing that before my face. He kept bringing it up. No matter where I would go, we'd be at the dinner table. Please, mashed potatoes. Daddy, I wish I had boots. He wanted those boots. And he kept it before my face. And finally, you know what I said? I'm getting that boy some boots. So he quit talking about it. We took him to the store and we bought him the best boots he ever got. And I want you to remember that when you have something in need of something, keep bringing it before him. You keep talking to the Lord about it and say, God, I want this so bad. I want this. Search my heart, but I want this. If it's wrong, I don't want it. But God, I want this. You keep bringing that before His face, I believe He'll give it to you.
Amen.
You want your husband to come to church? You keep bringing that to church. You keep bringing that before God and say, God, I want him to come.
Right.
God, I want him to come. You may be going to the grocery store. God, I want him to come. You keep laying that right in front of His face every day. You say, God, I want him to come. You want your neighbors to come to the Lord? God, I want them to come. Mm-hmm. You keep laying that before His face. I'm telling you, God will get it. Amen.
Amen.
When I finally got those boots for Malachi, I didn't have to ask him to put them on. He put them on. And he was proud. And when he put them on, friends, he'd go to certain places, and he'd put his foot out about like that. He'd pull his pants leg up just a little bit. And I said, Malachi, what are you doing? Nothing. You know what he was doing? He was advertising. I got my boots. Amen. You know what? I would that we would do that same thing, friends. When God gives you what you've been asking for, when God gives you these things, they're gifts that God gave you. Advertise it. Amen. Everywhere you go, you take that leg out, pull your boot out and say, this is my boot. I got this. And when you go, you walk with pride with those things. Many times God will give you things. And he'll, and many times, myself too, I'm telling you, I'm number one. God will do something for you and you forget to advertise it. You forget to tell the world. And as I was in Bartlesville this last week, I was advertising. I said, you know what? I've got a body of believers up there we go to church with. I am so blessed. And I talk about it, you know, the singing we've got here.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Some of them is as quiet as a mouse on cotton, but they love the Lord. And I began to talk about the believers of our church. And they said, you know what? They struggle. They've got trials come in their life. But they're still just as sweet as you ever met. What am I doing? I'm advertising.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, friends, I talk to people about what God did here. Because I'm proud of what God's done. I'm not ashamed of it, friends. Right. Are you ashamed of it?
No.
I'm proud of what God gave us here. And you know what? I believe that has a lot to do with God's blessing. Is being thankful with what God gave us.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when we're more thankful for those things, if my boy didn't show thankfulness for them boots, I probably won't get him another pair for a while. But guess what? He was so thankful for them things. He was so thankful for them boots. When those wore out, Daddy had another pair coming. And you know what? I want God's blessing upon this church.
Yeah.
I want not just to have people here, but to have the torchlight in our church.
Right.
I want to know that we have the torchlight in this hour. And then we know where we're at. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let me go on the rabbit trail, but let's get back into this. Brother Lim says, what would God call a people out of this evil age for? His name. The reason is to try her. To try his bride. When she is made manifest, been tried, been proven, proved by Satan, proved to Satan, like it was in the beginning, so shall it be at the end. As a seed starts in the ground, it comes through carriers, the life of it, but it ends up the same seed that it was and went to the ground. In the same way the seed of deceit fell on the ground in Eden is the same way it ends up in the last days. Just as the gospel was fell in the denomination of Nicaea Rome, it ends up in the super organization, just as the seed church fell back there, with signs, wonders, and the living Christ among them. It ends up in the last days under the ministry of Malachi 4 and restores back the original faith that was once given. And I want to skip down here to this right here. We find out in this evil age is to prove Satan she is not like Eve. She is not that type of woman. She will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. And Adam's bride believed every bit of the word. At all. Is that right? The first Eve was tried. And she failed. But Brother Brenham said, this last Eve will be tried again, but we will not fall.
Right.
Amen? And what we got to go back to is, we got to remember that it's by grace, not by total obedience. Because if you try to go by total obedience,
yeah,
you'll never walk a victorious life.
That's right.
I said, if you try to walk by obedience, you will never live a victorious life. Because you will walk in the dumps every day of your life. But see, it's the bride is not one that is perfected because she never makes mistakes. We're the bride that will confess our faults immediately. Amen. Whenever we have something happen. And Brother Brenham talks about purifying gold. And what they would take with that gold is they would put it in the fire and they would hit it with a hammer. They put it in the fire and they'd hit it with a hammer. And what he was doing, he was beating that thing to purify it. He was conditioning it to where he could see his own reflection in that gold. Amen? And have you ever seen anybody that's more tried than the bride of Jesus Christ? trials, anguishes, and bringing my wife into it. You know, we come from an awesome meeting with Brother Ben Norod. We go to Bartlesville, we have an awesome meeting, and Satan will try anything he can to distract you from the revival that God's getting. Right, is that right?
That's right.
You think about Jesus. Remember Jesus, they had a great revival, and Jesus told them, let us go to the other side. All right, think about that. Jesus told them, he said, let us go to the other side. And as they went to the other side, Jesus went to sleep. And that's when Satan stuck his head up. So God will tell you to do something. God ever tell you to do something? God will tell you to do something. And then when you go to do what God told you to do, storms start happening.
Right.
And this storm come over and Satan was going to smash that boat. Though they seen miracles, though they seen all these great things, though they seen revivals, they seen these great things, but now storm happens and Jesus is asleep. And for some reason, we're going through trials sometimes, those disciples forgot what God had done.
Right.
And Jesus is the one who said, go in the first place. Amen? And as they began to go to that other side, then they woke up Jesus and Jesus said, peace be still. Amen? You know the scriptures.
Right.
My wife and I, we had a great revival here in the church. We had a great revival in Bartlesville, and then we woke up, and she's hurting so bad in her stomach, in pain. With our feelings, if I would have built our faith upon the feelings, emotions, friend, where in the world would we be at right now?
Right.
If you will by feelings in your walk, and I want to get right in your own tater path yourself, when the doors are shut, friends, when the windows are shut, when nobody else is looking, and it's just you. That's the real you that comes out. Is that right?
Yeah.
When nobody else is looking, when that pop-up comes up on the computer, that's when the real you starts to try to come out.
That's right.
And, you know, during those trials in the bride, why does God do that? Because your actions during those trials displays the character of who you are. Right. You know, because you can be on the mountaintop every day of the life and never have problems, and you'll be a light. But you allow problems start happening. That's whenever the real you starts to come out. And you know what? Whenever you're by yourself and you're all alone and the music stops and you go to praying, something that speaks more loud than anyone. You know, you can shout, you can scream, you can earn services, you can have oil come out of your hands. I've seen really awesome things happen, but I can't tie to those things. I've seen absolute supernatural things take place, but you can't base yourself upon experiences. It's got to go back to the Word. Is that right? How many people actually seen the pillar of fire? Not here. You ask yourself, how many people actually seen the pillar of fire? How many people actually seen the cloud? And where are they at now?
Right. That's right.
I've talked to veterans that are supposed to be veterans, and they're cocky, they're arrogant. They say, oh yeah, I went over there and I killed a whole bunch of them. I shot all of them. I've been shot all these times. You can tell by the way he's talking that boy ain't been through nothing. And you find out later on he wasn't. But then you see the old veteran that comes in. He's real slow when he walks inside just like you mentioned this morning.
That's
Brother
right.
Tony mentioned a veteran he's seen this morning. You'll see that old veteran that comes through. He's humble. When he sees a lady, he stops and takes his hat off, puts his hat back on, and goes over and sits down. And when you go to talk to that little man, it's a completely different tune.
That's right.
He's humble. He's a gentleman. You know why, friends? He's truly been through something. But you got the new veterans now. You got the new guys that never fought for anything. It was given to them. It was literally put in their laps. They were drugged to church, so to speak. And there's nothing there. There's no integrity there. There's nothing on the inside. When you go to talk to him, there's nothing that feeds you. But you talk to somebody that was there.
Yeah.
You talk to somebody that really seen what was going on. And somebody that really picked up the cross and really started walking. It's a different tune, friends.
That's right.
And we've got veterans of the message. We've got veterans of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got a lot of new people that are arrogant. They're arrogant on their keyboards. They'll type certain things, and they get under inspiration or enthusiasm, and they'll type something on the internet this will show them my point.
Yeah.
You can look at that, and the very fruit shows where they're coming from. Amen.
Right.
And I'm saying these things because these are the things we're confronted. We have to be conditioned with what we're going through. Amen.
Right.
You know, they get under great enthusiasm, and they'll show all these things, but you let that person behind that keyboard start going through something. And the real you will start coming out. Amen.
Yeah.
That's true. Because the real you comes under pressure. Real veterans. You talk to somebody that's really gone through cancer. And you talk to someone that really knows what it means to go through chemotherapy. You talk to that person, friends, you'll get a completely different tone to someone that just knows about it. You talk to somebody that's truly been shot, and Uncle Bob is a veteran. And he's got a cut on his stomach that's literally just jagged all the way across his stomach. And I've seen it one time when I was a little boy. And I've seen that battle scar on him. And Uncle Bob, I said, Uncle Bob, what happened to that? And he wouldn't even say nothing. He just put his shirt back on and buttoned it up. He wouldn't even say anything about it. And we kept at him. He kept at him. He said, Uncle Bob, what happened to that? And my dad said he was from war. And my brothers, we were little bitty at the time. We started shouting. We said, our Uncle Bob was in the war. Our Uncle Bob, he killed a bunch of guys. Our Uncle Bob, we were proud. This is our Uncle Bob. And you know what Uncle Bob did? He gave me something worse than any whooping I'll ever get. He grabbed a hold of it. He sat down. He knelt down beside us. He said, I want you to listen to me. I took people's lives to get this. He said, I didn't get this going over having fun. He said, I seen my best friends die. I seen my best friends get shot to pieces. He said, I'm not proud of this like that. He said, don't you ever do that. Don't you ever go around talking about how great I am. You talk about how good it is to have freedom. He said, because you're able to go to school and go to church. And at that time, I didn't know what he was talking about. I'm just a little bitty fella. But I knew this man had been through something. And friends, that's what we need to do. We need to remember how many people truly died for this gospel. We need to remember the price that's been paid. Because the price has been paid. That's right. You take away all the fanaticism. You take away all the great singing. You take away all the emotions. How many churches will be full this morning? That's right. There's some churches you have to be on a certain skill level to even be able to sit behind the pulpit or the deal just to play music. You have to be a certain level of good to be able to even play music. This ain't bashing churches. I'm talking about where are we at, friends? You have to be a certain skill level to even be able to play. Where would I be? We had a sister who come over here and sung the other night, I Claim the Blood. And if you was to put as far as skilled singer, there's lots of people probably way better at singing. But you take what she had, friends.
Yeah.
And she was singing from a heart that knew Jesus Christ.
That's right.
She was a veteran, friends.
That's right.
And when she was singing that, that was a sister that's been through something.
Right.
And she began to sing, that was true worship. I was back in the back, I couldn't weep. I couldn't help but weep.
Yeah.
And see, that's what we need, friends, is when Brother Brenham in the tapes, he talks about restaurants. He said, I go to a certain restaurant. They said, the believers that follow your message, brother, the sweetest people I've ever met.
That's right.
Veterans. Because that was the real veterans that truly loved this gospel. And they truly seen what was going on. And they loved it. But see, we got a new generation that's come up. And this new generation doesn't know Him in that way. They don't know Jesus the way we know
that's
Jesus.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
And that's not putting ourselves on a pedestal. That's putting us back at the foot of the cross. If saying, you know what? If they knew Him the way I know Him, they wouldn't say those things. Is that right? True veterans. You know, true worship is not necessarily a great voice. And I know God's laying something on someone's heart here, but I'm just saying it because I felt it a while ago. When God gave you a gift to sing and to worship the Lord, it's not how great you sing. It's singing from your heart. Because you know, you can have every key right on beat and still not be worshiped. That's right. I can take you to the computer and I can pull up a YouTube video or an audio clip of singers that will blow us out of the water as far as singing. I can take you there and show you sound systems where people have such great sound and all these things. And there's nothing there, friends. I would rather have this old place right here, little bitty building, with old chairs, maybe old carpet, old walls, old ceiling fans, and have the torch light. Amen. Because you know what? We may not have a great building that other people, Brother Branham talked about, I believe it's in the rapture. Brother Branham talked about a building. He said, I drove driving up, he said, I seen a building today that was absolutely beautiful on the outside. And it had it condemned on the front of it. Nobody could even go into it because it was condemned because the foundation was wrong.
Yeah.
And because their foundation was wrong, they didn't start right. They didn't end right. Right. Amen. And you know what? That's why, and I'm really going to go back to the church again. When we began this congregation, this church, that was one of the things that was on the foreside of our mind. We said, brothers, we're going to start this right. Is that right, brothers?
Yeah.
We said, we're going to start it right, because if it don't start right, it ain't going to finish right.
That's right.
And we're doing the best we can to start it right and finish it right. Now, and Brother Brown talks about being convinced and then concerned. You've got to be convinced first.
Yeah.
And then you can be concerned. I want to ask you, I'm convinced. You believe we're on the right track, friends?
Yeah.
I believe we are. Now, if we're convinced, let's get concerned.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get concerned. Because as I read it in the scriptures a while ago, we need to pray one for another. And when we see one struggling, we need to all be struggling for that one.
Amen.
Amen. We see one rejoicing, we need to all be rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
And we get with Brother Tim in our midst, we're always going to be rejoicing. Because that brother's always rejoicing. Amen. When we're in the hospital, my wife, she was in pain, and they go turn a certain way, and she'd scream, and she'd say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And the text message kept going off, bing, bing. But it wasn't bad things. It was good things. You know what it was, friends? Sister, I'm praying for you. Sister, I want you to know I'm with you. Sister, I just want you to know you're on my heart. And all through this week, when she'd be in pain or something, there would be a text message come through of somebody reaching out and say, I'm praying for you. You're on my heart. I'm praying for you. And every time that happens, friends, you see a big old smile come across your face. You know what? Some would say, that's not a great ministry. Yes, it is. When God lays it on your heart to reach out for somebody, you reach out to them.
Amen. That's right.
Because you know what happens when that happens? Whenever my wife is laying there, and she her hurting, and she sees a text message, you know what the nurses have to testify? There goes Jesus. That's right. When she sees us, not just whenever we are in the trial, whenever we show our character, they see there's Jesus. Because even in a trial, she's still serving the Lord. Even though her back may hurt so bad, she can't hardly move. When that song starts, she's reached that hand up and praise the Lord. That devil has to testify, there goes Jesus. You know what? Whenever you're going through a trial and your emotions, your fears, you look at your family, it looks like there's no hope, and you still serve God. Why? You're birthed into this. That's why. You know, someone else can look at your loved ones and say, there's no hope at all. But you know what? You still go to church. And you still keep going. And you keep serving the Lord. There goes Jesus. Because I know in whom I have believed. And that's where I want to stop at right there, friends. I know in whom I have believed. Amen. If every other church quits, I know in whom I have believed.
Right.
That's right. I don't care how, you know, but they can try to do anything they want to say about the things that we believe. But I know in whom I have believed.
Right.
There's a lot of fanaticism going this way. They have gone so fanatical with the message, it ain't even funny. They just things they come up with, like, where did you come up with that?
Right. That's right.
And they've got the other end that they're so emotional and everything, like, where did you come up with that? We've got to stay right in the middle of that road. And we've got to keep going forward. You know what? I may not be the best singer in the world, but I sing from my heart.
Right.
Amen? We may not be the most beautiful church on the lot, but we've got the character of God. Amen?
Yeah.
We've got the character of Jesus Christ. And when I look at the sisters here, I'm trying to shut up and sit down, but you know, when I look at the sisters here, Brother Branham says, you want to know what a church is made of? Look at the sisters. You may know he said that?
Right.
You look at the sisters, and you'll know what kind of church you've got. And I'm proud. I've got you sisters on my flag, and I've got my flagpole in the air everywhere I go. And I'm proud. I'm waving it. Because I see Jesus Christ in this church. And I want you to know, when you're going through something, when you're going through a trial, I want you to remember, you stay fast in what you believe. You take the truth. You such, and Brother Tony may have a way better way of explaining that than I do, but to me, my way of explaining it, you take the truth of this gospel and you cinch it up tight. And you start check yourself and you say, am I on the word? God, are you allowing this because something sinful has happened in my life? Are you doing those things? If it is, you repent of those things. And if it's not, you rest assured right then and you say, God, I know where I'm standing. I believe the word of God, and you start walking. And as you walk, you start telling everywhere, I want those boots, Daddy. I want those boots. Wherever you're at, you start testifying, I want my loved ones. I want my healthy baby. I want this. I want my family in church. I want it. I want it. You keep that thing girt tight. The truth tight on your life. You say, God, I know I'm not perfect, but you're perfect. I know I make mistakes, but I've confessed them to you, God. I want my family. I believe God will give them to you. Yeah. Amen. I believe He'll give them to you. I want to read this scripture one more time since we've talked. We spoke on these things. I'm going to end with this. I want you to listen to the words that it's saying, amen? In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His boundless love might provide. Put on the whole armor, the armor of heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. Who wants to stand against the strategies and deceits of the devil? I want to be able to do it. We're reading now how to do it. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against powers, against master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all that the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. We all got a place that we talked about. You stand firmly in the place God gave you. Because you know what? That's the way a body works. Is we all got to do what God called us to do. Amen? And be the best you can be at it. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability and promptness and the readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. Let's all stand. Lift up over all the covering, the shield of saving faith, upon which can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen to this, friends. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with a strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. We have the truth. And I believe God gave us the message. And God gave us the believers here to work with. We have everything that we have need of to be an overcoming church. I want to be that, amen. With every head just bow for just a second. I know this ain't like one of the emotional altar call or anything like that. We don't want to try to go by emotions or anything. But you know what? You know the things that I've spoken to you this morning is the truth. And you know what? I want the torchlight in my life. I want the torchlight in this church. And I want my pastor to be running with the torchlight. And you know what? If you just agree with me, every head bowed, and you search your heart right now and say, God, if there's anything in me that would hinder this torchlight, this church, God, would you help me overcome that now? Anybody want to just lift your hand up and say, God, if there's anything right now, anything that's hindering the utterance of God from coming to this church, you help me right now. God sees your hands going up. And you be sincere before God. And let's pray together this morning and ask God to help us as a church. Amen. Let's pray all together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you know the hands that have come up this morning and say, God, search me, Lord. If there's anything that hinders the torchlight from being in my hand, God, Lord, I ask you to reveal those things to me, Lord, and help me to get them things out of the way, God. And Lord Jesus, give me the boldness to be able to change the things that I can, Lord. Be with our pastor here, Father, our song leader, Brother Tim, God. Lord, the deacon, Lord Jesus. Father, help us as the believers in the pews, God, because we all have a position, Father, and we want to be the best we can be, Father, for you, Lord. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, you'll walk right now, Lord, and touch every hand, every heart, oh God. And help us to run with the torchlight that you gave us for this hour, Lord. Let us not go into the deep fanaticisms, God. Lord, let us not go into the strange doctrines that they've got, Father. But help us to be right on track in the middle of the road, of the one-way road that you gave us, God. Lord Jesus, help us, Father, to be true to what you've given us, Lord, and to be appreciative of what you gave us, Lord. Let us not be like some of the arrogant soldiers that have come today, Lord. Lord Jesus, that have nothing behind them, oh God. But Lord Jesus, may be like the veteran, Lord. Lord, when he remembers, God, all the hours of prayer, Lord. Lord Jesus, when he remembers, Lord God, all the times, Lord, he's reached out and touched you, Lord. He's gone through a trial, Lord. Lord, going through something they don't understand, but yet they still believe you, Lord, because we know in whom we have believed, God. Lord, and this morning, we know in whom we have believed, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you, Father, touch these precious wives, oh God, Lord, to have families, Lord. Lord, but they're just maybe chaotic in the home sometimes, oh God, I ask you, Lord, have mercy this morning, Lord. Lord, the fathers here today, Lord, it's being Father's Day, God, help us, Lord, to hold that torchlight, God. Help us as fathers, Lord Jesus, to be able to show them the way, Heavenly Father. We love you this morning. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name.
See a man like that, and he'll speak to you. He'll talk to you, and he's friendly with you. And some of the guys nowadays, you see, people won't even answer you when you say hello to them in the store or something like that. They won't even answer you. But not this guy this morning. He was very, very friendly. I just was thinking about all the trials that men like him have been through. That went before us to pay the price. And that man has something, you can tell he's got something inside. He's got something worthy of honoring. We have an honoring of Veterans Day. Well, it's worthy of honoring those veterans that went before us and paid the price. And this generation now that we have now, they don't know anything. They don't know what the word sacrifice means. They don't have a clue what it means. And of course, that's what Satan has brought this generation to, this world to. And he wants you and I not to be associated and understand sacrifice. But saints, sacrifice is something we must have daily in our lives.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to go by feelings, because if we went by feelings, most of us probably wouldn't be here at church today. If we went by feelings, we wouldn't spend hardly any time in prayer throughout the week or anything like that. We don't want to go by feelings. We want to go by what the Scripture says. We want to sacrifice and praise to our God. We want to say no to our flesh and follow after the things that he's told us will give life and give it more abundantly. He went before us as an example, and so we want to certainly give honor to the Word and to the examples that's gone before us. And I say that because I wanted to take a moment to say God bless you to the dads, the fathers. We don't call men on earth father in the standpoint of a heavenly father, but we have earthly fathers. And I just want to say, God bless you, brothers that are good fathers. And, you know, the dad's supposed to be the leader of home. He's supposed to be the leadership and guide that family. And you know, I've told my children many times, I've never been down this road before. You know, when I come to be a parent, I've never been a parent before, so I'm having a learn this and experience this as I go. But, you know, when you got people dependent on you, and, you know, you're taking them down a pathway, especially a pathway that you're not real familiar with, you want to be real careful. And there's always, you know, when I go, how many brothers, your brothers have ever had to pull someone out of the ditch or take a chain and pull another vehicle behind you? You know, when you get ready to take off, you feel that tug behind you. And us fathers feel that tug every day when we get up. We feel that tug when we get ready to move. And we know there's a heavy load behind us that's important. And I just want you brothers to know that every day when you get up and you feel that, and what is it? That load is resisting the move that you are trying to make. And I know you brothers have that in your life. I know that not saying anything bad about the families at all, but you're the leader, you're the spiritual leader, you're the one that God put out front. And when you get ready to move, there's always resistance.
Amen.
And may God give you grace. May God give you grace not to give up, but to pull and keep leading, and keep taking that family down the pathway that God would have you take them. Because it's a worthy call. It's a worthy responsibility. And so I just wanted to say God bless you to the brothers this morning. When I came in, and Brother Ben and I went to get us something to eat this morning at Brum's, and I came in and sat down just a couple of tables across the aisle from this older gentleman. And his first words to me, he looked over at me, and I guess he looked at me and he looked at Benjamin, and he said, "Happy Father's Day." I said, they said, you know, it seems kind of funny that he would say that, but I said, "Thank you," you know. And so we began to talk, and he began to tell me a little bit about what his situation was. And he said, "You know, I don't really need this walker, but they tell me I don't have it for safety. So for a little while, I might have it." But he said, I believe in a couple of days, it'll be okay. And so it was just a real joy to talk to him this morning. But we want to remember that, Brother Daniel, what he spoke this morning is true. You can't beat character. You can't beat character in somebody that's been there, done what, and knows what it's all about. And you'll be a blessing to those around you. So we just want to stay in the middle of the road, not be fanatical about anything. I don't think this church is. I don't think we're cold and formal, and I don't think we're all fanatical. I think we're right where we can sacrifice and praise to God. We got the freedoms to have a service like we had Saturday night 2 weeks ago. That was a little bit out of what we would normally see. I enjoyed it. God moved. And sometimes you may have, like Brother Daniel said, he's a little bit quieter this morning than he normally is. Perfectly fine. Because we were talking earlier, that, you know, that, and he mentioned this in service just a minute ago. If you went into every message, church, and you took out every dynamic speaker that just really holds the crowd and gets them on their feet, now, took all those out of the message, took all the good song leaders out of the message, took all the good music out of the message, where all you had left in the message was just right in the middle of the road, the sturdy, the word, those that are right there, no glamour, no glitter, no nothing like that, but they're there constantly, all the time, right there, what they're supposed to be. How many would you have coming back to those several churches within a few weeks? It gives you something to think about. And so we don't want to have our focus on things that pass away like that. We don't want to be having our focus on the glitter and all the fancy things and all that. And we don't want to have our focus on all the new stuff that comes along. Did you know that in the Bible, when a nation forgets God, when a nation turns their back on God and he says, okay, you know, all he's got to really do is turn them over to themselves, right? So all he has to do to a person is just take his hand off of them, and they will destroy themselves. With a nation, when God gets... when they turn their back on him, and he just says, okay. Did you know that one of the things that happens to that nation is that they turn their back on the old man and his wisdom, the gray-headed man? They make children their rulers. I mean, those the scripture says that. That's what happens. That it's if you read, it's a curse that comes upon a people. And in that curse, when it describes what happens, you find out this generation that we look at out there, that's exactly what it is. They turn their back on the man who's been there, that knows the battle, has been that way before. and they let children become, young people become their leaders, and they actually says, it actually says that they become oppressed, and that's what happens. And so we don't want to go to this new stuff that comes along and everybody with their modern way of dealing with things. We want to stay true to that which has stood the test of time, and that's God's word. He certainly knows how to bring that to us. I don't believe God has left us without what we need. We just have to be diligent to let that take place in us as God has allowed it. And so we get ready to go in just a moment. I'd like to sing a Psalm 354 as we go. I have a source. And do you enjoy the sermon this morning, the ministry of the word? I certainly did too. I know God always gives us what we need. Our source of strength, remember, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's Him, the Word. You know, when Ruth went down to the threshing floor, you know, she's a type of us, went down to the threshing floor and she laid there at Boaz's feet. He woke up and as has always spoke to me, woke up and saw what was gone. He talked to her how she was so virtuous. And he said, "You haven't chased after the young men. Your mind is upon me, the old. You didn't chase after them." And I always thought, yes, Lord, we our mind is upon that old time gospel, that word that's been throughout the ages. All this new stuff, we're not interested in whatsoever. We want that gospel that has endured the ages. Man, that's what I think of when I look at that. Let's stay true to that gospel that's been tested and tried through the ages. It'll come out on top. God bless you, saints. So sing this.
I have a soul.
Ah!